Okay, good morning, everyone. So last couple of questions were a great lead into my talk, and we'll talk a little bit more, and maybe I'll give you some suggestions as to why we're seeing that yield reduction with continuous canola or tight rotation canolas. I don't think we have all the answers, but we'll get into it a bit more. So. Okay, so a little bit of background information. Probably most of you might know a lot of this information already, but obviously canola is a really big crop for us. Wheat is still our number one crop, but canola is number two, and when you look at the economics of it, probably canola becomes number one. So we have 20 million acres of canola now. These are all hybrid cultivars, 100% hybrids, and 100% herbicide-resistant cultivars. If we were to backtrack 25 years ago, we would have grown canola once every 4 years in a rotation. And a typical rotation would have been probably 2 years of cereals and 1 year of a pulse crop, being field pea or lentil, and then canola would have been that fourth crop. But in recent years, high economic returns have really encouraged farmers to want to grow canola more frequently. I think also, so we've probably had better cultivars in terms of disease resistance, in terms of blackleg resistance, so maybe allows us to tighten that rotation a little bit. So you know, I think we're sort of comfortable with one in every 3 years, but now we have several growers that are interested in growing canola every second year or every year. And I think if you were in yesterday's session with Sarah, you know, she said on her family farm they're growing a lot of canola. Canola wheat is a pretty common rotation. So anyway, we initiated a study in 2008 to address some of these questions. So I'm going to present data on for 6 years here. We conducted the experiment at 5 sites in Western Canada. And our treatments included, this is spring canola that we're dealing with, and we grew canola every year, every second year in rotation with wheat, or every third year in rotation with barley and field pea. We worked with both Roundup Ready and Liberty Link cultivars, and this was a fully phased rotation, so we grew all crops in all years, and it was conducted under a no-till cropping system, which pretty much all of our cropping system is no-till. Data collected was crop density, weed density, disease and insect pest incidence, soil microbial biomass and diversity, flowering and maturity dates, crop yield, and crop quality. So we'll dive right in and talk about some of the yield data. The first thing is we had no significant canola cultivar by rotation interaction. So we were able to average all of our data over both the Roundup Ready and the Liberty Link cultivars. We treated sites as a random effect, so John sort of talked about this before, so this allows us to sort of represent all of the sites representing the entire prairie region, and it gives us a little bit more power statistically. So the data I'm going to be presenting then are a mean of those 5 sites for each year. And so here's some of our data, and I'll show you, if I can find the pointer here, so where's... Right here, yeah. So we have yield on this axis here, and we have the years between canola crops. So the zero means continuous canola. This means a 1 year break, or you know, canola growing every second year. And this means a 2 year break, canola growing every third year. Remind you, the experiment started in 2008. So this is our third year, fourth year, fifth year, and sixth year of this particular study. And you can see here that we have a pretty consistent trend with increasing canola yield in all of these 4 years. Now, if we were to backtrack and look at 2009 data, at 2 of the 5 sites we had a yield loss. At the other 3 sites we did not. And I'll say that our yield loss was sort of in the range of that 10%. And I'll also sort of say it's very difficult to see a 10% yield loss. And I think that's sort of significant, because if growers walk their fields, or even agronomists walk their fields, or I go out and walk their fields, if you do not have a check strip, if you do not have a comparison, you will not see a 10% yield loss. And we were looking for it. We could not see it in our plot. So I think that's just sort of an important thing to sort of consider. So anyway, it certainly looks like you know, there's some benefit to having you know, a canola grown in rotation. I'll just show you what some of the photos look like. So these are my plots in Lethbridge in 2013. So this is Liberty Link, happens to be Liberty Link here. As I said, we had both Liberty Link and Roundup Ready cultivars. But here's Liberty Link, and so you can see we, you know, this is a nice looking plot. I think you'll all agree there. So we have a nice stand, pretty uniform flowering, and looks pretty nice. We go in, this is canola every second year. And still looks pretty good, but you'll see, you know, there's a couple spots there. Stand isn't quite as good. Maybe the uniformity of flowering is not quite as the same as the previous one. And then we'll go in here, and you see certainly that stand is a thinner stand, and we have delayed maturity in here. And this has sort of resulted in, this means we have also delayed flowering, and it ended up being delayed maturity. And importantly, it means uneven maturity, so that when you go to swath or to harvest, it's not going to be even across your whole field, and you end up with higher green seed content in this type of situation. Now, so what are the reasons, or some potential reasons, for why we're getting this yield loss? We did look at, as I say, we looked at weeds. We had pretty good weed control with these herbicide-resistant cultivars. But we went in and looked at disease incidence, we looked at insects, and so this is some of our data on blackleg incidence. And so blackleg incidence here, and you can see that generally, you know, certainly we have a lower incidence of the disease when we go into growing canola every second year or every third year. And that was pretty consistent over the 4 years here that we're showing the data. So this is really year six, and you might, you know, you might sort of... you know, say that that slope of that line is steeper, so which maybe is indicating it's getting worse, a little bit worse every year, right? So, and I will mention right now that we are continuing this study, so we will have years 7, 8, and 9 of this as well. So we are going to keep this going. So blackleg likely is one of the reasons for some of these differences, at least if you go on a number of years. May not be the main reason in 2 years, as Murray mentioned. But certainly over longer term, it probably would be. And this is some data on root maggot damage, feeding of canola roots, if you may or may not be familiar with that pest. But you can see sort of a similar trend of lower feeding on the roots when we grow canola every second year or every third year, as opposed to when we grow it continuously. Canola oil and protein concentration were not affected by rotation frequency, and we also looked at the fatty acid composition, and there were no changes there either with the rotation. So quick summary here. So our study findings so far indicate that, you know, continuous canola is not a sustainable production practice. I think we sort of knew that ahead of time. I think even growers sort of know that ahead of time, but we wanted to, as researchers, and the growers themselves wanted to sort of delve into that a little bit more and know what were some of the reasons, or really how significant were the losses. And so I think our study is providing information in that regard. Our 2-year rotations increased canola yield by 9 to 14% in our study. And that might even be higher at a grower level, at a farm level, as Murray mentioned earlier on. 3-year rotations were increasing canola yield by 15 to 27%. So those are fairly significant numbers. And an increased disease and pest incidence are part of the story, probably not the full story. Now, I don't have time to talk about this, but we had another study going on at the same time as this one, where we looked at growing mixtures of cultivars, or growing different cultivars each year. And these cultivars might have different disease backgrounds, different resistance genes in them. And we were doing that to see if we could mitigate some of the negative effects of growing continuous canola. And the bottom line of that particular study is we had no positive effects. So we couldn't reduce the negative aspects of canola mixtures or alternating canola cultivars. It didn't seem to help us out at all. So that just sort of reaffirmed our conclusion that we really feel that a minimum 3-year study or 3-year rotation is the way to go for canola production. And I mentioned it previously, but the study is continuing. So we 2014 was year 7, and we will be doing year 8 and year 9 in future years, and perhaps even keeping it going beyond that. So I just want to acknowledge the funders. We have a long list here that have funded this. You probably realize it's difficult as researchers to access money to keep a long-term study going. So that's one of the big challenges we have in trying to sell it, the project, all the time and keep everybody happy. But the majority of our funding has come from the canola growers on our prairie provinces. They have, as mentioned before, they have a levy when they check off, when they sell their grain. And they've been really good at spending probably about a third of the checkoff goes into research dollars as a minimum. So we get great support from them, and I want to acknowledge that. So, okay, thank you very much.
We have some time for a couple questions.
Perry.
Bob, on your rotational break there, it looked like 2010 and 2012 were very linear, with that 0-1-2 interval, but 11 and 13 were kind of, the 1 year was about as good as the 2 year. Something different about those two sets of years?
I think it's weather related. I think it's rainfall in some cases related. So, and sort of stand establishment. And we've had, we're supposed to be a semi-arid, dry area where I am in Lethbridge, and we've had 10 years of wet cycle. And so we've actually sometimes had, two wetter conditions in the spring. So I think some of that is weather related. But the trend is still pretty strong over years. So. And we are in the midst of sort of publishing this right now, so the scientific paper will delve into that a little bit more.
Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead. Crop density. You mentioned you took crop density. Did you see issues with volunteers in tighter rotations in terms of overcrowding?
There are some volunteers, obviously, but no, we didn't see a lot of that, I guess. So we always did a burn down treatment before we seeded that, and so we get control a lot of volunteers in that case. But I don't think that was the issue. So our stands were not too high, so it was not excessive crowding. Yeah.
One more.
Yeah, they all have blackleg resistance. They all have very good blackleg resistance. But I think there's a general trend of breakdown in resistance and blackleg in our growing environment right now. So I think it's a big concern for all of us, is that it's not broken down, but I think there's just sort of enough to make us worried that there is something happening out there. Okay,
thank you.
Thanks.
All right.